Hi, everybody. Thank you for coming. I recently met Rabbi Gabay during the summer. He was davening here almost every day during the week. And his reputation precedes him, and I really appreciate when he said agreed to give a share to no matter what size olam, and because we never know how many we are. And he's a rabbinic intern at Beth Aaron, as well as in the last years of Smicha at YU. And without further ado, Rabbi Sasson Gabay.
Thank you, Hayim, for coordinating everything. And we go until Marv, right?
Yeah, 9:15.
And Marv's 10:30? 9:15? Okay. Thank you for the opportunity. I wanted to focus on something which I feel that in my own learning and from various shirim that are out there, it's a topic which isn't necessarily spoke of as often as one would hear or imagine. We talk about the idea of mechila quite a lot, quite often. It's out there, it's discussed, the importance of going out to seeking mechila, to seeking forgiveness. And there's a lot of ink and there's been a lot of discussion over that. What I wanted to focus on tonight is not on the person going ahead to ask for mechila. I wanted to spend a few moments tonight looking at and examining closely the role of the one who is going to be granting the mechila. We could all sit here and we all know and we could all discuss, and it's pretty accurate to say that someone who has wronged someone else, Reuven who has wronged Shimon, it's understood Reuven has to make amends. And he may not like it, but he should be a Rodev Shalom. We discuss that quite often. He may not like it, but we talk of the idea that Yom Kippur, that Averos Ben Adam Lechavero, they're not, there's no kapar for them unless the person asks for Mechila first, and we're going to start in establishing those. But again, let's take a moment to just zoom out from this topic, from this dynamic that exists. Reuven affected Shimon, he hurt Shimon, he offended Shimon in whatever, whichever way. And let's realize that there are two people involved in this. And we focus a lot on the Mechila process of what Reuven needs to do to seek Mechila and to go ahead and to get appeasement from Shimon. What are Shimon's roles? What are his responsibilities? How does he go ahead and grant Mechila? Is going to be the part of the dynamic which we're going to speak about tonight. It's not chas v'shalom to mitigate the fact of the importance that someone who has done something wrong, how incumbent it is upon them to rectify that situation and to renew and establish their relationship with whoever the wronged party is. It's not to dismiss that at all. It's just to examine the other half, the other side of that dynamic. So to begin, we are going to just do general background. Again, these are things which many are familiar with, and that is on section 1, starting with source number 1. The Gemara Maseches Yoma Pehei Amud Beis says the famous line, Averos Shebein Adam Lamakom Yom Kippur Mechaper Averos Shebein Adam Lechavero, sins that between man and his fellow man, Ein Hayu Yom Kippur Mechaper, he is not granted a kapara, he is not atoned for those sins until Achi Yirtzeh Es Chavero, until he goes out and he seeks appeasement from whoever he has wronged, whatever avera there is that transpired. And then we different limudim. Rabbi Lezer ben Azari has his limud. Hachatotechem ufnei Hashem titaru averu shebein adam lamakom yom kippur mechaper averu shebein adam lechavero and yom kippur mechaper. Again, he learns it from that pasuk. The titaru occurs in terms of the dynamic of our relationship and sins that occur between a man and God, but not necessarily between man and fellow man until one goes out and seeks that that mechila. Similar idea, continuing with that theme in Pei Zayin Amud Aleph in Yoma, just a few dapim later. Again, where we learn out from that a person needs to go ahead and to seek out mechila. Again, source number 2, along the same lines and the same theme of source number 1, it comes up in Ezekiel and source number 3 in Bava Kamma as well. We're talking about there's different types of things that occur in Bava Kamma, damages that transpire between a Reuven and Shimon. But then we start talking about damages that are more on an emotional level. The Gemara there also discusses that a person should go ahead and to seek mechila from the wrong party. All of these are codified lehalacha, both in the Rambam and in the Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam, we will read the Rambam inside in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Beis Halacha Tes, in a Tshuva v'lo Yom Kippur Mechaprin. You could regret. You could feel as guilty as you want. You could do a vidui for Averus Shebein Adam Lechavero. You could come up and show up on Yom Kippur and you could fast. But says the Rambam, Tshuva v'Yom Kippur Lo Mechaprin Ela Al Averus Shebein Adam Makom. And then it lists various ones about second line of Alaveru Shebein Adam Lechavero, Kagona Chov Lechavero, if you physically hurt him, Mekalel, Goza, whatever, Vekayotze Behen, Eno Nimcha Lo La Olam, you will never reach any sort of kapara on it. Until, again, if there are damages, you have to pay the damages. If you stole from him, then you know you do whatever is prescribed for you to do. But on top of all that is not enough. You need to go out and to seek mechila and to appease him. It's not enough, right? The Rambam continues, Afa Pisha Hichzir Lo Mamon, in the second to last line in source number 4, Shuchayev Lo Tzarech Leretzoso Vilish Omimenu Shimcho Lo. Even if you didn't do any of these harsher things, you didn't steal from him, you didn't hit him, there was no chavala here, but there was an os dvarim. I insulted him, I embarrassed him. Even in those scenarios, embarrassing is not the best example because there may be damages associated with that, but let's say I onas dvarim tzarech lefaiso v'lipkoa bo ad shimcho lo. Source number 5, this is all codified la'alacha, what we just pointed out, the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Taf Reish Vav, Aver Shemin Anam L'Chavero on Yom Kippur M'chaper, Achi Fasenu Afil Lo'Ktinu El B'Dvarim Tzarech L'Faiso. So far, so good. Preliminary background, there's Mechila, you need to go get it if I wrong somebody. Fine. How does one grant Mechila? And on this, there has been quite a lot of discussion amongst the poskim, based off a very interesting incident, which is quite well known in the Chumash, and that is between Yosef and the brothers. Rabbeinu Lechaya develops a beautiful idea. If you look on section 2, sources 6 and 7, the psukim, you know, the Shvatim are concerned, how is Yosef going to react to them? They've just, it's been established of what's occurred, they now realize Yosef is still alive, and they're frightened. It's a theme very common towards the end of Sefer Bereishis, where they're concerned after Yaakov Avinu's Patira, right after the burial, on their way back from the burial, the Chumash discusses it. So Yosef responds and tries to settle their concern, and he says to them, Ana sana pesha achecha. He gives these very vechatatam. Ki rag mlacha vata sana lefesha avde elokei avicha ve'yiv Yosef bedabram elav. He's trying to soften. He's trying to be concerning, to validate their feelings. He's trying to comfort them. But Rabbeinu Bechaya points out something quite interesting. He never says he forgave them. He says, don't feel bad, okay? He says, he keeps repeating this term which Rabbeinu Bechaya talks about, anasana pesha achecha, don't worry about it, it's okay. Again, very similar what you find that after the Patira as well, throughout the whole incident. But Rabbeinu Bechaya just points one thing out. And he says, they were never granted mechila. So let's, for a moment, let's take a step out of Rabbeinu Bechaya and let's ask the following question. Aren't these words indicative of the fact that the emotional state Yosef is in is not one of achzarius? We're going to come to that term later on. He's not there to be a stubborn, a person who is bearing a grudge, right? He's certainly not out to seek revenge. That much we could establish, right? It's pretty clear that he does everything he can any concerns the brothers may have, to address them, to not worry, to not be frightened. But Rabbeinu Bechaya points out, he never said the words with his mouth, I grant you mechila. How does Rabbeinu Bechaya know that the mechila wasn't granted because of that? Because Rabbeinu Bechaya says, very simply, and you could say it's drush. That's Rabbeinu Bechaya, it's not a sefer halacha that we're quoting from Rabbeinu Bechaya, we're quoting his parish on Chumash, obviously, right? That's the context. Let's be mindful of that. And it's important to be mindful of the context of this Rabbeinu Bechaya. And he says, you know, the Asar Haruge Malchus, everyone says it's a tikkun for the 10 brothers for the sin that they did against Yosef. So then you have the Asar Haruge Malchus, Rabbi Akiva, others, right? The difficulties, the Yisurim, the Misa they went through. And that's a result of being Mechaper for the Avera of the brothers selling Yosef and the hatred and the Sinas Chinam that occurred there. Do you know that whole incident that we read about in the Gemara? You know why that had to take place? Because Yosef was never Mocha. And he points from here in these pesukim. You never see him grant mechila. Ah, you see his emotional state, his emotional being is doing everything to show his brothers how loving he is. Rabbeinu Bechai says, haraya that the mechila wasn't granted. Look! Look at the Asurah Yamachos. Why did that happen? If the Avera occurred, and if it was asked to be granted Mechila, and if the Mechila was given, there's no reason per se for the Asurah Yamachos to take place. There's no reason for that national tragedy, that calamity to take place on a level of, you know, affecting all of Klal Yisrael, the Gedolim of, that we lost, and it's the specifically the way we lost them, right? Which we reflect on Tisha B'Av, the detail and the agony that occurred. Rabbi Akiva, you think about being Mekabel, Shem Omachus Shemayim with the raking of the skin, because Mechila wasn't granted Beferush, Bepem Malay, Korn to Rabbeinu Bechaya. So we say, okay, it's a very nice Rabbeinu Bechaya. When it comes to Parshas Vayechi and I'm sitting around the Shabbos table, I'll go out and I'll say, you know, I heard a very nice idea based on this week's Parsha, and just an additional insight, some commentary on the Sedra which we laid this morning in Shul, right? Except there's one issue. Source number 8, it's quoted, this is from the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron, Rav Simcha Zissel Brody. Takes the Rabbeinu Bechaya, and he actually quotes it lahalacha. You should know, the contemporaries of our day, when they see this, they view this as a tremendous chiddush. You're going to take a drush of Rabbeinu Bechaya, you're going to quote it lahalacha? Like, that's really saying something. I was looking, I saw this Rabbeinu Bechaya, it was referenced to me, from like this Israeli newsletter, so to speak. And it's a likud of various different parshanim and modern day poskim. He brought this Rabbeinu Bechaya, and specifically this maimer in source number 8 in Shem Derech to my attention. And they were just reflecting on the fact that the nature to take Rabbeinu Bechaya's comments lahalacha. So section 2, right? Remember, the focus, the intro of our shir is we're going to be examining closely not the damager, we're going to be close, the damagee, not the the one who has been hurt, the one who has been afflicted. What's very obvious is that the way the mechila needs to take place is it needs to be said bepeh mele. I ran across an old colleague today. I was in Brooklyn. Suffice it to say that it wasn't the best ending how we ended. Unfortunately, the job performance wasn't where it needed to be, and we tried, we worked with her, we gave her a chance, and it didn't work out. We ultimately had to let her go. She was a great person on a personal level, but it was affecting too many people on the team. It was really affecting the financials of the company, so we ultimately came to the decision a few months ago that we had to let her go, and I came across her today. And remember, I was preparing this year early. I didn't daven at 7:20 this morning with you, Howie. And so obviously all the source sheets are on my mind as I'm going. And I just pulled her aside for a second to one of the conference rooms in the building we found ourselves in. And I said, I just wanted to ask for mechila. You have to understand it was nothing personal. I understand it was hard. And she said, no, of course, I know it was nothing personal. And then I'm thinking, what would Rabbeinu Bechaya say? What would Rav Simcha Zissel Brody say? I could say it's a nice vortlach. But then when you have someone that's quoting it lahalacha, if you quote if you look here, it's the last paragraph, I think. I put the whole thing here in case you want to take it and read it home. Just the last three lines in the last column in source number 8, the last paragraph, I should say, in the left hand column. If you go further down, you see an arrow sort of pointing at it. Third to the last line, first one line is Ella El, but Varm Sarch Lefaiso Vilifkobo, Ad Shim Cholo, Kavana Bechoza, Shacharch Yomar Lechavero, Befiv, Shomocholo, Velosa Gibberitsue, Afshi Yodea, Shikibo Venitfais Venirze, even though she says to me today, it's okay, I knew it was nothing personal, right? It's like an interesting boundary, because how different is it what she said to what you read in source number 6, what we just learned together in source number 6 about Yosef told the brothers. But okay, so step number 1, if we're going to write a handbook of how to grant mechila, if we're going to examine the role of the wronged party, which is what we said we're going to do today, section 2 establishes for us that ideally what a person should do, and it's very scary to think about that, because a mechila wasn't granted bepeh, there was a suffering of the Asura Harugei Malchus that took place and that occurred and that transpired as a result of that. So on our handbook we're going to write, by the way, when they come to ask you mechila, just know please that you should really say to them bepeh malei, that you grant a mechila, because obviously that there's an integral role to that place. This sort of begs the next question, right? Now we're putting things in perspective. We're talking about, you know, Asar Hurge Malchus that were nifter that passed away. So when the Shvatim come to Yosef and they say to him, we're very concerned, we know we wronged you, but you're our brother, we love you, we sinned, right? This is what is transpiring. Does Yosef have an obligation to grant them mechila. Let me ask you something else. The person that I worked with today, she's an excellent person. She's a phenomenal person. You know, great. Is she obligated to say, listen, Gabbai, you don't know what you caused in my personal life. You want to come and now you're asking me mechila? Forget about it. Good luck on Yom Kippur. I know the Gemara in Yuma. You're going to need it. I know what it says in Mechaber Sim and Tav Reish Vav. You're going to need the, you know, I hope it works out for you, man, right? Is there any sense of obligation? Right? It's not Mechaber. We saw the Rambam. You could do everything. You could do the tshuva. You could do this. You could do that. You could do the vidu, and you could really sincerely feel bad. But if the mechila wasn't granted, and there's a way the mechila needs to be granted, as we just learned, are we concerned that perhaps there should be an obligation for the person to grant mechila? And it's the bulk of this shiur, which I'd really like to spend on this topic. So if you turn the page to section number 3. Yeah.
Are you saying from the words, you don't see it from the words of the Rambam?
That what? That you need to articulate the words, right. I grant you mechila?
Right.
It's a tremendous chiddush word of Simcha
Bavli. Right, but he's putting that into the words of the Rambam, right?
He's trying to make different yukim. To be honest, they're like a little bit of a stretch. Some of the I shouldn't say that.
Well, I mean,
as I was trying to understand it, yeah.
Is the Rambam says a kos of a Rambam, and then he says, what does it mean? Achi yimchlo.
Yeah.
Kavanah, you have to do it. So he's interpreting the Rambam, perhaps.
I'll tell you. Let's just say. Let's just, you know.
In other words, I would have said she did fine.
I understand, but here's, right, according to the Rambam, the argument could be made that she needs to grant mechila. How do you grant mechila? My emotional state isn't indicative enough for you that I'm granting you mechila. So he will argue, right? He will argue that no, it is not. The diuk to make, the Rambam never says you need to say you granted mechila. That's why it's a tremendous chiddush, right? But I'll also argue, at the end of the day, when you have a Rishon who's writing a parish on Chumash and who starts explaining different events that have occurred between history, he's not teaching a Bible class in YU. Not that there's anything wrong with my Bible class. I love my Bible class. I love my Bible teacher. But he's talking, he's explaining events that occurred, tragedies that occurred because the Mechila wasn't granted. It's hard to just ignore that, right? It's hard to just... It's such a, also, assuming the person really is... you know, the emotional state is as such where they do want to grant you mechila, it's not that difficult to just clarify and to ask a follow-up. So, you know, I'm mochel, or it's uncomfortable, we're not used to it, but there's, you know, I just brought you a source, and I brought you a Rishon who wrote a parish on Chumash who sort of attaches great weight to that idea. But let's continue, because I would really love to focus a little bit on section 3, on the obligation to granting mechila that you find on the next page. So we'll start with source number 9, source number 10, source number 11. We'll do 9 and 10. What they're pretty much coming, I'm just going to, for the sake of time, maybe I'll read outside a little bit. What it's pretty much saying, the extent, the length a person has to go to achieve and to seek out mechila from another individual. You have to go to them once, you got to go to them twice, you got to go to them third time, it doesn't work, bring a few people with you, right? It still doesn't work, get 10 people, line them up in a row. These are based, you have these sources. This is source number 9, Pei Zayin Amud Aleph. The Rambam also puts this out. But then you see something interesting. If you look at the very end of source number 10, if you look at the second line of source number 10, holechlo, right? He's saying you keep going. Vezeshalo machal, you keep having to going. And this guy, he's not being mochel you. Chote, he's a chote. The one who's not granting mechila is the chote. That's a strong label to attach to someone. No, you wrong the guy. You go to him a couple times, and we want him to let it go. Take a look at the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch and some, it's the same simon, Tav Reish Vav. They made him with bias for Rishona. He doesn't. You go to him the first time to say, "Please grant me mechila." He says, "No." Yachzor v'yelech pam shniyah v'shlishis. Obechol pam yikach moshlosh anashim. Each time you go to him a second time. Go to him a third time. Go take people with you. Three people with you. V'im ainu with bias b'shlosh apamim. Ainu zakuk lo. I'm not zakuk to him. I'm not going to translate that term. Zakuk means literally like I'm not like obligated to him. Like he doesn't have a zchus over me. There's no, you know, he doesn't. He's not holding anything over my head, so to say. I'm not going to explain what the ramifications of that are. We're going to get to that later. Does that mean he's mochel or not? He went to him three times and the guy didn't say mechila. No? Maybe we'll talk about it now. What do you guys say? The guy's mochel or not? Quick poll. You go to him three times, he says no. And you saw the Rambam. Rambam says, you know, he's a chote, right? But he doesn't. The guy who's not granting mechila is a chote. Okay. The guy, when the Mechaber says, "Eino zakuk lo," what does that mean?
He's not forgiven, but he's not beholden to the individual anymore. I mean, that's how I understand it.
So new. What's, yeah.
He's not forgiven because the guy didn't forgive him.
Any dissenting arguments?
But he's not. But the wrong that he did is he's not beholden to him.
Okay.
If that caused you financial harm or some other type of harm, I can just go and say, you got to forgive him.
Right.
It's inadequate.
Right.
Depends on the facts and circumstances. So
that's fair. Okay.
I'm assuming he pays him back. He still doesn't.
You have to pay him back.
Let's say you paid him back.
You have to pay him back. Forgive
him. Howie, use a different example. Use the case that I insulted the guy with Onas Dvarim. I hurt his feelings. Those were the examples we gave, right? Let's not use the first examples of the Rambam, that there was a Chavallah, that there's maybe I was espying him, and then maybe there's damage associated with that, and I didn't steal from him, right? There's none of that. There's no monetary restitution, so to speak, okay? Emotional damage. The guy says, I'm not mochel you after three times. Yes or no? What happens on Yom Kippur? What's going on in Shemayim?
I take it as he's not beholden to him. Meaning,
and you want to draw a parallel to say, I don't get it. If you were supposed to do something, there was supposed to be some form of repayment. And in this case, repayment is you granting the mechila. And the repayment, quote unquote, did not take place. That's the analogy you want to draw, right? Then
you're saying that that's not relevant.
It's not relevant, right. Okay.
Well, the nafkamina, what I'm saying is whether the forgiver is over something by not granting mechila.
Good. So look at source number 11. You know what he's over? He's over a pasuk in the Torah that says lo tikon velo titor. You shouldn't bear a grudge. Before we all discuss this. The Rambam references this. You can't bear a grudge, right? The guy comes to me three times and I'm still bearing a grudge. Listen, there are nuances. It's not for tonight because I really, like I said, we're going to be focusing on we're not taking away anything that the antagonist has done. We're not taking away all of what he needs to do. We just want to focus on the victim, so to speak. But the antagonist has to do it certain ways. Like, I remember in like grade school or high school, like, we'd learned this halacha, so you'd go to the guy that, and like, you're waiting in line in the calf for like breakfast or whatever, and go to him, are you mochel me, are you mochel me, are you mochel me? Like, you know, I asked you three times, no, I learned from Rebbe. It's not how it works, right? I don't remember all the details. It certainly has to be at a different time. I think there's some people that say even a different place. It may not even be able to be on the same day. You know, there's stuff that needs to take place. It's not like a joke. I want to highlight. He needs to be exerting effort. But he exerted the effort and it didn't happen. So what happens? Okay? You asked a great question. Did he do something wrong? And that's the perfect segue into my next source. You're not supposed to bear a grudge. That's an Isser Daraisa. To bear nekama is if I'm bearing a grudge and therefore it's going to cause some in a way where I'm sort of being revengeful. I'm seeking revenge in a way that's going to manifest itself in a specific way. You come and you say, can I borrow your lawnmower? And I say no. The next day I come to you and I say, can I borrow your lawnmower? And you say no to me. That's nekama, right? Because there was a specific action that took place.
If that's the reason.
If that's the reason, right. And not because you were using it or, right, right. Lo titor is I say to you, listen, take the lawnmower, even though you didn't give it to me the day before, right? That's the example of lo titor. And there are discussions amongst the poskim. What happens if I give you the lawnmower? I didn't even say words to you. I said no words to you. But in the heart of hearts, I'm thinking, you know, what's going on? This guy didn't give me his lawnmower yesterday. I'm a better guy than him. I didn't open my mouth to you. So there's a different they discuss whether you're over or not. So you ask, what's the violation? Am I doing something wrong by not granting mechila? Seemingly so, because of source number 11. But let's continue. There's a Mishnah, Maseches Bava Kamma, the eighth perek. It says in the very last five words of the first line, "Umanayin shlo yehamochel achzari." How do I know that the person granting mechila shouldn't be achzari is not evil. It's not wicked. It's like mean. It's like a mean spirited, right? I'm not thinking of the right word. I know
cruel.
It's not the word. We'll go with it. Right? So whatever, learns it out based off Avraham, and when he was granting Mechila to Avimelech has forgiveness. Avraham granted him Mechila, and he didn't do so in a way that showed that he was being any sort of Achzar in any form or any such manner. Okay, but that line, Shloya Mochel Achzari, it keeps that phrase is going to keep coming up, because then in the very next halacha of the Rambam, in source number 10, we did the Rambam halacha test. In source number 14, you look at halacha Yud. Asur la Adam Lios Achzari velo yitbayis el yeh noach lirtos bekashat lichos. Right? If someone comes to me, I shouldn't be an Achzar. I shouldn't be cruel, and I should go ahead and grant the Megillah. V'shash mevakish mimenu hachote limchol mochel b'leiv shalem uvenefesh chavitza. They come and they ask me to give him mechila. I should do so, right? This is page 2 of the handbook. Page 1 is I should articulate the mechila, seemingly, right? Page 2 is I shouldn't hold back. I shouldn't be an achzar, and I should go ahead and I should grant the mechila. And the Rambam goes into detail. Even if I really bothered the guy, even if I really messed up here, the Rambam says very plainly that this isn't the way to be Jewish. You want to be part of our nation? You want to be part of Klal Yisrael? The Rambam says very simply, v'zeh darkam shel zar Yisrael v'libam hanachon. That's how we do. We grant mechila. We're sympathetic people. We're like the Gemara in Yevamos says, we're Rachmanim Bashanim Vagomlei Chansadim. We're sensitive, we're caring, we're considerate. Someone's coming to me, they're asking for me to grant them something, I'm going to go ahead and grant it. The Rambam goes on about the Ovdei Kochavim, they're not like this, but we are. I'm Segula, this is how we should be handling it, okay? The Ramah takes the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't take the Rambam in Halacha Yod, but the Ramah does. V'amocho lo yo achzor min limcho. He shouldn't be this cruel person and not grant mechila. Ve'im hu lo yotze limchol. I'm sorry. Lo im lo mishmikevan letova samavakish mechila. It's to the benefit. Someone's asking me. I should do them a favor. They're coming to me, right? And I should go ahead and grant them that mechila. The Mishnah Brura on this Ramah. The Kol Amavriel Midosav, and source number 16. The Kol Amavriel Midosav, Mavrin Lo Al Kol Pashav. Right. This is, I think, it's a Gemara in Tinus, if I'm not mistaken. That talks about a Mavir, someone being Mavriel Midosav. That phrase comes up. That I should work on myself, and I should restrain myself from taking any sort of, Mavir Amidosav is used in various contexts. But what I shouldn't do, it's like a form of revenge. I really shouldn't take it, right? I should hold myself back. I should have control over myself, and I should optimize in the way. The way I act with my fellow man when he comes to seek appeasement from me. Elia Rabin, source number 17, takes this concept of not being achzari to the next level. So how you want to know if there's an issur? Forget the issur for a moment. Look at 17. The Elia Rabin says, Sar Chaldam la Hamzia Atzmo Eitzalo To Shachatalo Shivakish Menu Mechila. So far, so good. Look at the second line in 17. Kasav Mukubalim, Mishayno Mavir Sina Biyom Kippur, and Tiflaso Nishmas. This is a change. This changes everything. Why? We started the shir by discussing the fact that the one who has wronged the other, the antagonizer, so to speak, right? What happens to him on Yom Kippur if he doesn't go ahead and gets mechila, right? It was heavy, pretty weighty stuff what we discussed, right? Nothing he does is going to solve it. You can do all the vidua you want. Flipped a little. Now we're saying about the victim, the one who was oppressed. If he's not granting mechila, he's going to hold a grudge. He's not going to let go of this. What happens to his tefillah, according to the Mekubalim, according to the Eli Rab? Now it starts getting a little scary. Now I want to go back to what we discussed earlier. The question I posed to you earlier is the mechila granted or not? I've gone to him a few times, right? It seems to be that there, in some way or another, there is some sort of obligation that takes place for him to grant this mechila. We have sort of established that, right? To what extent do you want to? How do you? What phrase? What terminology? What halakhic concept? Do you want to pull from the dictionary to say what's his obligation? He can't have nakama, he can't be an achzari, he can't. There's different ways we could do it, right? But pretty clear from halachic sources that there's what did the Rambam call him? The Rambam says he's a chote, right? The mechaber, I think he said, not only said enu zakuklo, there's someone who says usher. Yeah, 14. Usher, Rambam and Halacha Yod said it's usher for the person to be an achzari in this case, right? Within this context, within this scenario, this setting we're talking about, he says it's usher for it. Fine. And the Ramah codifies it. Mishnah Berurah talks about it. Eli Rabbi scared us with the Divrei Mekubalim. What happens if he didn't grant mechila? Lamaisa, he should have. We've established that. He didn't grant mechila. Says the Pri Chadash, says no problem, because you did what you needed to do. And he actually makes a deal of which, Matzachin Be'inai. If you look in source number 18, he says, V'davar baruhu, dekevan shiyotar mishol shapana meinu zakuk lo od lefaiso, right? I'm not zakuk to him to go up more than three times. Shiyoma kippur mechaper. That Yom Kippur is mechaper me. That was the Gemara we started with on the first page, right? How, what do you do about that? How is Yom Kippur going to be mechaper? Well, so he says, it doesn't, it says, Shiyirtze chaveru. Demolish the kol shemartziu. Afa pishayulo nitzor b'yom kippur mechaper. Dimlon kein achi itratze chaveru mibayle. If it was supposed to be that I need to actually be granted the mechila and I wasn't granted the mechila, okay? And there, and that's the case, and therefore Yom Kippur is not mechaper, it should have said achi itratze chaveru. But the focus is not on the antagonizer to obtain. The focus is not on the victim granting mechila. It's on the antagonizer. The verb is on him. That's the action which he needs to do. That is the verb that's associated with him that needs to take place for him to be granted kapara. If we're looking at the totsah, if the totsah should have been that he needs to grant me mechila after three times, and if he doesn't, I'm not mechaper and Yom Kippur, then it should have said achi itratze chaveru.
So one more time, the chiddush here is yirtze means. He's translating as the individual who made the mistake. He has to do. He has to do a certain amount of ritzui.
Yeah, that's it.
But yitratze would refer to the person who was wrong.
Yeah, yitratze means I have to grant him that I have to grant him the mechila.
That's novel.
So is it saying that if he went through the process and the guy didn't grant him? Then Yom Kippur is mechaper.
Yes.
That's what the pre-chadash is saying.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. That's a little bit of a chiddush, and I'll tell you why. Because not everyone really agrees to this. It's let's be clear, it's great territory. Everyone's making diyukim, no one's explicit enough. But in source number 19, Rav Elyashiv thinks that he's not granted a kapara. You went through the three process. You went through the three times. You weren't given the mechila. What happens next? So he says, look at the second paragraph in source number 19. Initially, I didn't think this was on Bar-Ilan, so I had to take a screenshot of it, but parenthetically, if you want to know, it is on Bar-Ilan. Second paragraph in source number 19. Chula shemati mimorechami moran agon Rav Elyashiv shakavana hi. This is on the Gemara. Right, this is our case that he's discussing. That's the truva that was asked, the sheila, in the first paragraph is saying, what happens if I'm not granted mechila after three times? So he says, Ela nechshav shelo yeyenosh kol kach ad shelo piso, Ela nechshav miata la'anus, la'ones, I'm sorry, no, la'anus, aval hachet nishar bimkoma. The chet is still there, and it hasn't gone away. Okay? And he goes through different things. What does it mean, Einu Zakuk Lo? It doesn't necessarily mean that the chet goes away. It just means that I don't have a chiyuv to continue going to him. But it doesn't mean that the aver went away. Remember, it seems to be that there's a chiyuv for me to go to him. And I've sort of checked off that chiyuv box. I've been yotzei that chiyuv, right? That's the intent behind the phrase, Einu Zakuk Lo. But, Rav Elyashiv, you want to get off scotch-free? You weren't granted mechila, and that's part of the formula. The equation has it as a necessity for you to be granted mechila, and that didn't take place. If you turn to the next page, it's that I'm not obligated to continue to go after him. It should be noted, I didn't put it on the source sheet, I really should have. The Mishnah Berurah says, you know, the mechaber that we read in source number 12, that you should go three times, and that after, on Einu Zakuk Lo, I think the Mishnah Berurah on the phrase Einu Zakuk Lo, he says that it doesn't mean like you could, it's like also for you to continue to go to him. Maybe you should continue to go to him and to see what could happen to be granted the Mechila, right? But again, it seems to be that there's an obligation for me to go and to seek the Mechila, and if I wasn't granted that Mechila, I'm not obligated to continue to go for it, but I have to figure out a way to be granted that Mechila. How do you get that Mechila? So take a look at source number 20 for a second. I think this is a good raya for Rav Elyashiv. And on top of that, it tells you how to get out of this sticky situation, and it's not so easy. Source number 20, Piskei Tshuva, says as follows: Umisha biyish o hiknid v'hiskachech im adam v'bikesh menu b'chayav mechila shlosh upanim kedin. That's our case. I asked him three times for mechila. He didn't give it to me. Right? V'lo ratza lislochla mikol machom tzarech. He needs to la'achar misaso after the death of the victim who wasn't granting a mechila. Afterwards, lakachas asara anashim I, the antagonizer, have to take 10 people, right, likvaro, and go to his kever, v'lasoso k'seder hanal. And there's a seder. I didn't put the seder here, but in the previous, it was the cases before, and the poskim discuss, the mechaber discusses, if I'm not mistaken, someone passes away, and I didn't have a chance to ask mechila, what happens then? So, you know, you take a minion, you go to the kever, there's a phrase that you say before, you're fine. He says you have to follow that seder if the guy didn't grant you mechila while he was alive. It's not the classic case. The classic case everyone discusses is, I didn't get to ask for mechila, the guy passed away, what do I do? He's saying, you want to know how to get out of this sticky situation? You see Rav Yashiv, right? I mean, obviously, chronologically, he wasn't saying see Rav Yashiv. But he says, this concept that he's not granted, that he, you know, don't think you're scotch-free. Because then you go to his kever, and then you grant him mechila. I guess, in the Olam HaEmes, I don't know how it works, but I guess you don't really have an option to say, I'm not mochel you. And by definition, this works. It's moil. What the Pesachei Teshuva is saying. However, I thought it was interesting. One, it tells you how to get out of the interesting situation, the predicament that we found ourselves in. But two, it's a point for Rav Yashiv, and it's sort of a strike against the, who do we call it, the Pri Chadash or Pri Torah? It was a Pri Chadash, right? Because if according to the Pri Chadash, who says that the Chet is gone, right? He says Yom Kippur is Mechaper for him. So why do I have to wait 10 years, 15 years after the person is Niftar to go ask him for Mechila? It's Mochel 15 Yom Kippurim ago, right? So it seems that the Pesachei Teshuva is saying not like the Pri Chadash. There is an exception to everything I just told you about the person needing to grant Mechila. And that is in a case where there's a shame ra, right? If I go and I publicly embarrass someone in such a manner where everyone knows about what happened to that place, I don't want to go into now because I think section 4 is very interesting if you just look at the title. But take a look. Sources 21, 22, and 23, they talk about how I don't have this obligation to grant mechila. Various explanations why I don't. The damage can't be contained. You're asking me for mechila, so you can say it's okay by me. Meanwhile, everyone knows everything you said about me, so it, you know, that's not going to work. So that's an exception. The Truma Sadesh in source number 21 you have, brought it's the very end there. It brings a case. There's a case that occurred. The Ramah, Ve'im Hotzi Alav Shem Ra, in source number 22. Ein Otzarich Limchol Lo. I'm not an Aksari in that case. In source number 23, he gives you the reason and how that works. Source section number 4. Can I grant Mechila without being asked? And I think this is fascinating. Because what's going to come out of this is I brought you a few truvas. We obviously don't have time to go through them. Source number 24, 25, 26. You really have two people. You have the Devar Yoshua, and then you have on the other end of this, Rav Yoshua Ehrenberg. Fascinating biographies on both of their lives. Really amazing insight into their lives. But they discuss, if I could give you mechila without you even coming to me, I'm a really nice guy. If you wanna insult someone, I'm the guy to do it because you don't even have to come to me to grant mechila. I'm gonna grant you mechila, and you could sit home and cook for and not have to worry about anything, right? So again, different ways of how it comes out. The Devar Yoshua, he says the whole point is to be mochel. It's purely transactional. If the mechila was granted, the kapara is gone. The kapara is granted, therefore, don't worry about it. You don't have to go out and seek and to ask mechila. Azan Dabru says not to rely on this. What are some reasons not to rely on this? Different cases. There's a Gemara also in Yuma that talks about that a certain butcher that offended Rav. I think I put it on the source sheets, but I could be wrong. A certain butcher offended Rav, and the person, source number 28. Rav would make sure to go and make himself in front of the butcher, so the butcher would come ask him for mechila. And everyone's asking, like, I don't get it. If you want him to ask mechila, it obviously shows like you're really not bothered by it. You want to sort of get over it with him, right? You're like in a good emotional state. So he says, no. He has to come. He has to go ahead and ask him mechila. That seems to be a raya that it's not enough for me to be mochel. The Gemara never says that Rav said he was mochel. It just says that he would make himself presentable to the guy to be mochel, and that seems to indicate that he wasn't really holding a grudge against the guy, and it seems he had already forgotten about it. But this is just fascinating. Again, look at the Pesachei Teshuva. A lot of very interesting stuff here. Fascinating topic. But I want to point out a few things. And that is that both in source number 30, 31, the following is discussed. where the reason that perhaps the mechila needs to take place is that it's not purely transactional, the fact that the chet needs to go away. We seem to already be hitting on that fact, that it seems to be there's more to it than that. There's something very specific here. Again, it's quoted by Medrash, by the Mordechai in source number 30. The Ma'aril talks about in source number 31 that what needs to take place is that I have to go in front of the person. Look at the very last line in 31. It's on the bottom left hand corner. That Azakadosh Baruch Hu roesh who hishpil atzmo lefanav umarachem v'mochel v'salachlo. There needs to be a humility that takes place for me to get the mechila. Okay, and this is a consistent theme that keeps being brought up, that I need to go and I need to actually ask for the mechila, and it's a process that the antagonist needs to go through. And I think if you think about that concept, and we really didn't dwell on it the time that it's appropriate for such a deep concept, but think about that concept for a second, and then think about the concept which we ended off with a few minutes ago. On the person themselves, the Eliyahu Rabbah, the Sefer Mekubalim, the tefillahs aren't answered by the victim's tefillahs aren't answered if he doesn't grant mechila, right? You could say that there's some sort of shiftless that needs to take place. There's a humility that needs to occur. As an antagonizer, it's not enough for you to grant me mechila without me going to ask for it. I need to go, I need to submit myself for you, and I need to be mevatel myself, right? And on the same side, on the victim, for him to say, I'm going to bear a grudge and I'm not going to let this go because I was the wrong party, that's not appropriate either. There's something here that, you know, in terms of letova sasheni, right? I think that was the words of the Ramah. It's letova chavera that I need that. And I think the common theme here just comes back that on Yom Kippur, during this whole time of year, it's submitting to the fact that of a higher being. And it's being so conscious of it, no matter if you're the antagonizer or if you're the victim, to just be cognizant of that idea, the cognizant of our vulnerability to a Kadosh Baruch Hu during this, it's been vata ourselves, and hopefully during this whole time will be granted all of us a mechila for us, our families, and Klal Yisrael.
Superb.
I want to say one thing.
Yeah.
Before we